How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
This episode of Optimize We is brought to you by C60 Power. Visit shopc60.com and use code WESHOW15 for 15% off your purchase.
Welcome to the Blunt Business here on CannabisRadio.com. Thank you all for joining me. Behind the scenes action, I'm recording this at midnight on a Monday morning as my guest is joining me from the incredible, fascinating area of Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. And we'll just get right into it. He is the CEO of Nkenix Healthcare, a clinical stage biopharmaceutical company focused on developing novel cannabinoid pharmaceuticals and psychedelic therapies, and he's been with his company developing combination medicines to treat chronic conditions with significant unmet needs, and is here to go and talk to me about product candidates, the advancement of cannabinoid pharmaceuticals, and the benefits of synthetic cannabinoids being combined with well-characterized active drug components. I'm here with Joel Latham. Joel, thanks for being on.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
That's a fascinating subject we're getting into now, and I guess you'll help me to get my head wrapped around this kind of subject, because there might be a few things you'll bring up here, various drug medications and particular terms that I might butcher a little bit, but we're going to figure out how I deal with it anyway. So anyway, combination medicines and Nkenix is working on that pair synthetic cannabinoids with well-characterized active drug components. So really fusing, and I mean, we hear about like compound prescriptions and things like that being together, but I don't know if I've heard anybody else do this here, where they have decided to go and put in cannabis and infuse together. I remember there was a pill that there was, what was it? There was a medication I remember taking that was to treat a knee pain that I had, a joint pain. And I remember using it, and I remember it was two different products together, and it was charged as a brand name, and it was like $2,000 for this particular bottle. And I'm trying to remember the name of that. I can't remember what it is right off the bat. But the thing was, it was two combined prescriptions fused together. So the same thing happening here. Tell me about the idea where cannabis would work well with some conventional drugs and combining them together.
Yeah, definitely. So the strategy that we look to implement here, we develop something that's a little bit more proprietary than that. So we've placed a significant emphasis on building a robust IP position across our combination products. So the rationale behind each of our lead drugs assets is we hypothesized that by combining two different component drugs, we could target two different mechanisms of action simultaneously and be able to have both component drugs act synergistically together to achieve enhanced research outcomes. Which is exactly what we've been able to experience in the early stages and mid-level stages of the development of our lead assets. So there's an existing body of research out there on cannabinoids and obviously the other pharmaceutical compounds that we're combining with them. And it is quite a complex process when we're looking to combine the two drugs. We're looking at dronabinol and cannabidiol, which is an oil-based substance, and more often than not, the other components that we're combining them with is a powder-based. So we've developed some unique formulation technologies with our formulation and manufacturing partners that have allowed us to really get to this point now, where the products that we have developed are of the highest quality, and there is an immense amount of rigor and science that goes into developing these unique combination products.
Joel, I want to ask about a few of these right now and just break down a couple of these real quick and what they're going to be used for. So now, first of all, you have a lead candidate for one is called IHL42X, a combination of acetazolamide and dronabinol, as you mentioned, the Delta 9 synthetic version of THC, and acetazolamide, which is the brand name is Diamox, and this is being used for sleep apnea. So as opposed to using, you know, a machine, or tell me about why you feel like this would be a product that would work well, obstructive sleep apnea in particular, what is it about this that would be a treatment option that would help, you know, instead of using a CPAP machine, why would this be a better option?
Yeah, because we target two different fundamental causes of obstructive sleep apnea through two different pathways. So if we look at the individual components, dronabinol, it essentially binds to the cannabinoid receptors, modulates signaling, and activates the muscles in the airways, whereas azetazolamide induces metabolic acidosis, which essentially increases the CO2 in your blood, and it induces the taking of a breath. So we've been able to essentially validate through all of our clinical trials that we've been able to have these two components act synergistically together and target two different fundamental causes of obstructive sleep apnea.
The next one we're going to talk about here is for rheumatoid arthritis. Now, for those that might hear this here, as soon as I say the name of one of the drugs, you're going to probably be triggered by this, but we're going to try it anyway. So IHL-675A, so a synthetic cannabinoid, a cannabidiol with hydroxychloroquine sulfate. Yes, I said that. Stop thinking that way. Just going to hear this out. And currently you have this in phase 2 development. So the synergistic effects of combining a cannabinoid with this disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drug. See, because everybody was thinking about the fact that this was something that was very familiar to us during COVID. Maybe not in this particular of the HCQ, but hydroxychloroquine, we heard that name, or chloroquine, being used to treat COVID-19. In some cases, that we don't know, you know, I'm not going to go into the whole deal of that. I never wanted to get into that. You know, even though we had interviews that talked about it at the time, but still, the idea of this, again, 5 years after the fact and deciding to go into this drug, tell me about, you know, how this would take care of any particular chronic inflammatory pathways. That's a pretty big deal to get rheumatoid arthritis and be able to treat that. So tell me about this combination.
Yeah, so if we look at cannabidiol, there's an extensive body of research that shows the anti-inflammatory benefits of this component. Then when looking at an ideal candidate to combine cannabidiol with, we looked at what has been used in the market previously. We look at hydroxychloroquine. So I completely agree with you. Hydroxychloroquine was extremely politicized during COVID. But I think if we actually look at the merits of this drug and the history of safe use and efficacious use of hydroxychloroquine, it really does demonstrate why we decided to combine this well-established drug with cannabidiol. So the evidence suggests that it regulates the immune system and the hyperactivity by interfering with the antigen presentation by immune cells, and it decreases the TLR signaling. So we hypothesized by combining this with cannabidiol that there would be synergistic activity with these two drugs, and we've been able to validate that through a plethora of preclinical studies, and we've also shown that it was to be extremely well tolerated and bioavailable in a phase 1 study that we completed also.
And I want to make sure that people know we're going to go in a little more about this, but the other thing that we should make clear of is that the therapies that you were looking to go ahead and try to work on here, we've only talked about the cannabinoids so far. We haven't talked about psychedelic assisted therapies yet, but the regulated clinical trials you're doing right now are FDA and TGA regulated. So they're not just promising, but they're said to be provably effective and approvable. And you're prioritizing fixed dose combination therapy. So it targets complex conditions through multiple mechanisms, improving outcomes, developing strong intellectual property. So When it comes to the obstructive sleep apnea, the IHL42X program, that you're saying this could reshape the current standard of care, but there is going to be pushback. As we said, before I say anything, one of the areas that I want to get into is that when you try to find out information about anything with nutrition or medicine or cures or anything else, it is so mired and you can't find out legitimate information. It's as if you have to go and go through so much crap online, social media, whatever there is. And whoever kind of people that are said to be experts and all, you can't get the real information. And that's the biggest problem. Like right now, I'm just looking at for dieting. I want to find out if hydration, if water intake, if I increase the amount of water intake, give me a clinical study that shows me, okay, that if you do, some people will say that, okay, if you do drink any amount of ounces, half your body weight of water every day, that's going to actually help your joints. It's going to actually help you with your weight loss, metabolism. It's going to help you, you know, in various areas. And it's not going to be too much. It's not going to be overkill. But at the same time, there are various people out there that say otherwise, and they're trying to go and plug something or sell something. What is it about this here that gives you the trust of saying, okay, here's the clinical trials, and we're proving this is going to work? So when people hear about this, how do you tell them, okay, this is not just a cash grab. We're not just doing this just to bring our stock price up.
Yeah, well, it's definitely not a cash grab from our end. We run this company with a patient-first focus. We know with the indications that we're targeting, there's significant economic potential for us as a business and for our shareholders. But more importantly, there's millions of patients globally that are suffering from the indications that we're targeting that have limited or no treatment options available. So for us, we run our clinical trials with the oversight and rigor required under the FDA. We have a strong working relationship with the FDA. All of our, particularly our IHL42X trial, we just recently completed a phase 2 study. This was under an open IND across 16 sites, and all of these sites were based in the US. So we continue to scale up these clinical trials. And just to your point, just to further validate that this isn't a cash grab for the company, all of these trials are governed and run by independent clinical research organisations. So we don't actually get to see the data or how patients are reacting until database lock and the data is presented to us. So everything is done through the same process and guidelines and expectations as you would expect from any pharmaceutical company developing a new molecular entity. And our motivation here is really to disrupt the markets that we're targeting, because we firmly believe that there's the alternative therapies that we have the potential to provide here have the potential to provide patients with a favorable outcome long-term.
We're going to step away for a commercial break, but we have a lot more to get to with my guest, Joel Latham, CEO of Incanix Healthcare here on Blunt Business. Back with more questions after this. We're back with Joel Latham, CEO of Incanix Healthcare here on Blunt Business. Website, by the way, if you want to look at this while we're going along, incanix.com, incanix.com.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com. Tired of social media censorship? Frustrated by restrictions on TV, billboards, and traditional radio? CannabisRadio.com is the only platform where you can connect directly with over 1 million dedicated listeners without the limitations. Advertise your product freely to high-value, educated decision makers. Launch your unrestricted campaign today. Email Brasco, B-R-A-S-C-O, at CannabisRadio.com. Again, I-N-C-A-N-N-E-X.com. And if you're interested, you know, I was mentioning about the stock price because of the fact that Incanix is listed on the NASDAQ exchange under the ticker IXHL, again, IXHL on NASDAQ. And what I want to go into next is now you're working on synthetic pharmaceuticals. Now, let me just get into this point here real quick, is that because you're using synthetics Delta-9 in particular, or I'm trying to think what it was, the other cannabidiol, which particular synthetic is that? Is it Delta-8, Delta-9, or which particular cannabinoid are we using in that part?
Delta-9.
Okay, is it strictly Delta-9?
For dronabinol.
Okay, and then what about the one that's with the hydroxychloroquine for rheumatoid arthritis?
So that's CBD. So we're using CBD for that particular drug.
Want to make sure I got that all cleared away. So now the one thing in particular I'm looking at is on the obstructive sleep apnea combination, because that is a synthetic that you're adding in there with dronabinol. So the one thing is you have a subsidiary that is pharmaceutical company in America under Incanix Healthcare Limited and Apeirix Pharmaceuticals in USA. I just want to get this here where there are a lot of states right now, and there's potentially a nationwide effort by, you know, politicians or policymakers to outlaw or ban any intoxicating hemp, which would be derived, some of it would be obviously derived from Delta 8 or Delta 9 or any other various cannabinoids that are doing from hemp derivation. Are you looking to do this where it is through cannabis or through hemp, the cannabidiols or the dronabinols that you are procuring and extracting to use for these medications?
So we're not extracting anything to develop these medications. They're all synthetic based. So okay. with dronabinol and cannabidiol, it's all synthetic. So we're able to achieve consistency and purity. And synthetic reproduction consistently for our assets. So we decided to go down the synthetic path. We believe that there were several advantages in doing that, not only from a consistency and purity perspective, but from a regulatory and clinical standpoint as well.
So my question is, do you feel like there might be any obstacles that might come across if you're trying to bring this into America and these particular drugs are come to market, will there be any kind of issues at all? Do you think that the FDA will go ahead and at least look favorably at this? And the FDA is the channel of approval as opposed to worrying about what might be said by policymakers on the state or national level.
Yeah, so listen, we wouldn't experience any potential issues with the cannabinoid product. Given the schedule. With IHL42X and looking at dronabinol, there are certain considerations there because it is a synthetic form of THC. But with the way that we've formulated this drug, the way the size of the dose, we're confident that there aren't going to be any issues long term with this as we continue to work with the FDA and importantly the DEA with the scheduling of this asset. If we continue to have success in the clinic, it's something that we've considered, and we've got the right foundation and strategy in place to ensure that we're able to be successful long-term in this space.
Here again with Joel Latham, CEO of Incanix Healthcare. And website is incanex.com, incanex.com. And again, on the NASDAQ, available at, you can find their stock ticker symbol at IXHL. Now, let's go and get one more question in about the psychedelic-assisted therapy that you're also looking into as well. And that is where I want to get into, I'm just pulling it right up here, for generalized anxiety disorder. It's PSX-001. So in this one, It'll be a synthetic oral psilocybin formulation being studied in combination with psychotherapy. And then you have a phase two trial where participants so far at 44% experienced a clinically meaningful reduction in anxiety, at least a 50% drop in anxiety scores. So very promising. And you look at PSX001, and you told this to drug-dev.com, that this could be a part of a validated, scalable model for psychedelic mental health treatment. Tell me more about the PSX001 program.
Yeah, so this is quite a unique asset that we have developed here. So as you mentioned, we're using a synthetic form of psilocybin, and this is used in combination with psychotherapy. The exciting thing about this asset is we've recently released data for a phase two trial that we completed. So this trial had 73 subjects recruited. And so patients obviously have to be diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. And we used a rating scale called HAM-A, which was our primary endpoint within the study. So throughout this program, patients needed to be willing to undergo two supervised psilocybin dosing sessions in combination with psychotherapy and commit to follow-up assessments for 11 weeks. So this therapy, it's not a one-and-done approach. Similar to what I mentioned earlier, we do really have a patient-centric approach, ensuring that we are able to achieve long-lasting, real-world benefits for these patients, and firmly feel confident in this therapy that we have been able to develop. And I think the results that we've been able to generate at a phase two setting definitely validates this with, as you mentioned, we had 44% of patients have a greater than 50% reduction in their anxiety score. So that was really pleasing results for us as a business. It was actually four times what we saw in the placebo arm. And something that we also place quite a significant emphasis on when developing this asset was creating strong remission rates. So we saw a 27% remission rate throughout the phase two trial. So this was actually five times what we saw in the placebo arm. So again, really pleasing results there. And then just to kind of tie this off, we're very pleased with the safety and the tolerability throughout the program as well. So the key takeaways for this unique therapy and the results that we've been able to generate, that we saw statistically significant durable anxiety relief with meaningful remission rates, and the broad patient benefits and strong safety profile support advancement into later stage clinical trials. So similar to IHL42X, where we've recently released positive data and we have significantly de-risked that asset, we've been able to do the same with PSX001. So pleased with the position that we're in with this asset. And we've laid a really solid foundation here to be able to expand into later stage clinical development and hopefully continue to provide shareholder value with further positive results in due course.
I have final questions with Joel Latham of Inkenix Healthcare, CEO of Inkenix Healthcare. Website is incanex.com. Take a look at the website. We'll be back with final questions for Joel after this. We're running the home stretch right now with Joel Latham, CEO of Inkenix Healthcare, here on Blunt Business. And I also want to make this point as well, as we wrap things up, that I talk about when it comes to compliance, very important on the particular standards. And how much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With the Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com. Tired of social media censorship? Frustrated by restrictions on TV, billboards, and traditional radio? CannabisRadio.com is the only platform where you can connect directly with over 1 million dedicated listeners without the limitations. Advertise your product freely to high-value, educated decision makers. Launch your unrestricted campaign today. Email Brasco, B-R-A-S-C-O, at CannabisRadio.com. Just to make clear to everyone out there, you made a point of that NCANX is operating strictly as a pharmaceutical company. So the compliance that you adhere to is good manufacturing practices, GMP. We've talked about that extensively on Blunt Business here and on our grassroots marketing series about the importance of all cannabis. You know, if we have, we don't have any particular regulatory body or regulatory framework yet, you can look at state by state, but it's usually the bare minimum. We've talked about that. But good manufacturing practices, more of a European, more of an overseas thing across the board. And you also submit investigational new drug or IND applications, and you conduct randomized placebo-controlled trials. It's very important to make that point. And that you've been working with regulators in the U.S., Australia, and Europe. By the way, you are doing all this work and research in Australia, research and development. And your team has regulatory professionals, advisors who have brought drugs to market globally, and you've run trials more efficiently and accessed the FDA via Project Orbis and other international collaboration pathways. What I wanted to also find out was, can you tell me anything about the medical aspect of the company in terms of, well, you have regulators that have been able to know how to go ahead and bring drugs to market and get them approved. Can you tell me about any scientists or medical professionals that you have on board overseeing the projects?
Oh, without a doubt. I'll start with our chief scientific officer, Dr. Mark Bleakley. So he's been with the business for about 6 years now, and has been the key driving force behind a lot of our assets. His experience is second to none in the development of cannabinoids and psychedelics, and he has led the research programs in a great manner. So we're very pleased to have him on board. And then from a medical standpoint, we have Dr. Lou Barbado. He comes with close to 30 years experience in big pharma. He's worked across the board at some of the major big pharma companies and brings a wealth of experience to the team. So from a scientific and medical standpoint, we have two fantastic leaders in our C-suite, who are the driving force within their particular roles within the team.
I want to direct people to the website once again, ncanex.com, ncanex.com. And for those that will be interested, and I've also mentioned before the NASDAQ stock here, which is IXHL. So tell me about any call to action that you have right now. If you want to just take a minute to talk to our listeners about what they should be doing, how they can participate with what you're doing, pioneering cannabinoid and psychedelic therapies with these three drugs, with three combinations you've been talking about here on the program. Tell me about what you need from our listeners that you'd like to get from them.
Well, what I'd love from your listeners is to follow the InConnex story, do more of a deep dive, reach out to our investor relations team. We'd love to facilitate and provide any information and answer any questions that may come up. We're extremely confident and excited by the strategy that we have been able to develop. We've delivered two sets of positive phase two results this year, which is an outstanding achievement, and not many companies have been able to do that consecutively, let alone in such a short period of time. We're on the trajectory here to disrupt two major sectors, that being the cannabinoid and psychedelic development sectors. We have a strong team in place. We have robust IP positions formed across all of our lead assets, and we have a clear path moving forward where we can, where we hope we can continue to deliver value and key milestones for the company and shareholders alike. So we're aligned with shareholders, and we want to drive value, and we're hyper focused on continuing with the rapid development of these exciting assets.
And I would recommend also looking for the Q&A from Drug Development and Delivery that did an interview with you about this particular, where you also make the point of what's happening for shareholders. Stakeholders can also look forward to the next year, year and a half, that you're looking to anticipate interim data from the ongoing phase two and three of the Raposa trial for IHL 42X for the obstructive sleep apnea, and also phase 2 trial data, which will be for the rheumatoid arthritis combination, IHL-675A, that will help to validate your unique combination therapy model, and also phase 2 trial results from the PSX-001 for anxiety disorder, generational anxiety disorder. So you're going to get some measures. You're going to get some results coming out of this, again, going into multiple phases. And when you look at this down the line, you know, where do you see, what timetable do you see right now where eventually you might be able to go and approve these medications, these treatments?
With a lot of those milestones that you just mentioned there, we've actually been in it, fortunate enough to be in a position to deliver on those milestones this year. So that article that you mentioned may have been from a little bit earlier, but I think what that demonstrates is that we're able to deliver on the milestones and the strategy that we've set out to achieve. So for us now, it's about focusing on the next stage of development. So given we've released the top line data for IHL42X, the phase 2 component of that development program, we're now eagerly awaiting to meet with the FDA to talk through our next steps to ensure that we're developing this asset in the most efficient manner. So I suggest that the listeners here keep a close, pay close attention to this, because we will, as soon as we have the interactions and feedback from the FDA, we will be providing an update to the market. In relation to PSX-001, again, we're fortunate enough to be able to release the phase 2 results earlier this year, in August it was. And for us, we have an IND open at the moment, and we have a clear path to advancing that further into phase 2. So again, another exciting milestone and key development pathway for the listeners to look out for.
Joe, I'm fascinated by all this here that, I wanted to go and do this interview for a while, and you know, it's one of those where, okay, is this going to be worth going, staying up at midnight to go and do this interview? But yeah, absolutely was. And I must say, it's surprising to see that this is being done right here where, you know, I've heard other companies that, you know, came, I think it was Epidiolex, I think it was one of the few medications that went through to FDA approval, but there hasn't been much more that has come out with anything in cannabis relation to this. And the thing is, in the meantime, the cannabis industry has really just been succumbed in waiting for regulation, and they're all caught up in the intoxicating hemp ban here in America. Well, meanwhile, there are other countries that are being greenlit now, especially in Europe, to have more than medical and go into recreational or adult use cannabis. I know Australia is still medical use, but there's been a lot of, you know, where there are various markets that are trying to go ahead and import, export. They're trying to go and do something what they can with the cannabis that they have. But while the industry is still worrying about, in America at least, they're still worrying about trying to go and wait for legalization to come through. When you're going this route, going for FDA approval and talking to regulators to move forward, do you feel like you have an advantage, or do you feel like the leverage is in your favor that you're going to get products to market before the cannabis industry can go and go nationwide after some hope that legalization comes to be?
Yeah, definitely. We think the optimal path for us is to be able to clinically and scientifically validate our assets and go through the FDA path. We see ourselves as a fully-fledged biopharma company developing unique and novel assets. And the path that we want to go down is through the standard approval pathway with the FDA. We want to continue to validate in a clinical and regulatory setting our assets and work closely with the FDA to hopefully achieve approval. So we're not sitting back and waiting for any regulations to change globally. We're focused on developing these assets continually through the clinic and ensuring that we put ourselves in the best position to succeed here as we continue to work with the FDA on each of our assets.
Fantastic. Again, website incanex.com, I-N-C-A-N-N-E-X. If you want to learn more about the clinical trials and what they're doing, there is a section for patients that you can go to on the website for that. Also, investor relations, obviously, if you want to go ahead and get on there, they are on the NASDAQ, listed as IXHL. So if you want to go ahead and put a little into that and invest, you can also do that as well. So there's a lot of ways to go and look at it, but also follow the story here on the various conditions that you're trying to go and treat right now eventually, which is obstructive sleep apnea, rheumatoid arthritis, and generalized anxiety disorder through the levels of cannabinoids and psychedelic-assisted therapies. So thank you for being on with me, Joel. I really appreciate this conversation. Blown away by what you're doing right now, and I wish you and your team all the best that we really get this down the pipeline and these drugs to market.
Fantastic. Well, it was an absolute pleasure to talk with you. Thank you for doing it at early hours of the morning for you, but it was fantastic to meet you, and I hope your listeners got something positive out of this discussion as well.
I'm a night owl. I'm just kind of used to this. I still got a little extra work to get done. I do right now, so the burning of the midnight owl will continue, but for you, Joel, thank you for being on with me. Really appreciate it. And thank you, listeners. We'll talk to you next time. How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com.